This is our class number four of our amazing Summer Soul Radiant Success series course. And today is our fourth class, July 26, 2016. And what you just experienced before I turned on the recording is exactly the way guidance worked. I started going in a direction, and one of my guides said very loudly, "Recording." So you too have that capacity for your guidance to get your attention. And that is a big part of what this course is about, is your uninterrupted, your unquestionable receptivity to your guidance, where no matter what your focus is at the time, you with practice will come to trust that if nothing else, which you've all experienced in me many times, if nothing else, give yourself permission to just stop and if necessary tell people that you need a moment and give yourself permission to scan your messaging. And even if you can't get any clarity in the moment, at least you have honored what you believed was a message from your intuition, and you didn't allow outside forces to overtake your integrity to yourself of being true to when you know you are getting an intuitive message that you need to listen to. Does everybody understand what I just said?
Yes.
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 Mary? Okay. Because yes. as I said to you in our private sessions, nothing happens. Whoa, what is that?
I'm sorry.
Nothing
That was me. Yeah. I'm sorry. I got it.
Okay. Thank you. Nothing happens by accident in my classes, in our membership, anything. It's just not possible. So there must be, for somebody on this call, aside from me, some value in you seeing me model what happens when you're already on a track of thought. You've got an audience here. I've got you as my class. And yet I stopped because I got a prompting from my intuition. So whether that means that one of you or some of you had a recent experience where you didn't listen to your intuition, or you too had an intuitive hit and you did honor it, or whether it's going to happen sometime in the future, please use that moment right there, right before I turned on the recording, as a reference point for you to do that for yourself as well. Any questions about that before we go into activating the transmissions of grace? Any questions?
No.
No questions.
Any comments about the fact that that was something that happened in our space for this class?
No questions. I have had similar experiences like that, very loud and clear. It was very clear it was the guidance.
Great. And did you listen to it?
I sure did, most of the time.
Wonderful. Great. Okay. So let us begin with getting grounded, and that includes filling up your aura with an egg cocoon of your soul light, and then putting your veil of blue flame protection around that, and then call upon the transmissions of grace. So the new protocol that I've been reinforcing is before you call on the transmissions of grace, is for you to get your own personal space secure of the grounding, your aura in place, and then the protective blue flame shield in place. And then when you sense the transmissions of grace, say ready. And as you know, I will go around the room and ask you how you're registering them today. So I'll be quiet while you all do that.
I'm ready.
Ready.
Ready. Yeah, I'm ready. Barb, I'm not hearing anything. Are we still connected?
I know. I know. That's what I was
thinking. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yikes. Yikes, yikes. It's my mute button went on all by itself. Oh, my God.
Now, what are the guides saying about that?
Like, I was just going to ask.
They were trying to get unmute, but they were muted.
Yeah, so let me... I'm going to just take a moment and get grounded, so because I don't know why that happened, but just give me a moment. The only thing that I'm getting is for all of us, because of the excitement of giving presentations and maybe some fear and maybe some self-judgment as well as great excitement and being proud of yourselves for getting this far, maybe all it is for us to just take an extra deep breath and really securely ground ourselves. And let's add one other step, and that is to call our soul home, just to get completely in our bodies. And I'm saying this to me, too, since it was my mute button that went off. So let's go ahead and have you imagine the ball of light above your head. And you silently to yourself, you call your soul home back from the future, back from the past. And you see that ball of light above your head get larger and larger. And at whatever time is right, it starts to release this exquisite elixir of golden white light, which is the essence of your soul energy pouring into your body all the way to the tips of your toes, your nose, your fingertips, your ears. And you become fully present. And take a deep breath in. Whatever stress you might be feeling, whatever excited energy that might be needing to balance out a little bit, bring yourself to balance and let us begin with how you know that the transmissions are here. And thank you, Barb, so much for saying something. Who would like to go first?
I can go.
yeah.
Well, you were right. There's at least for myself, there's some anxiety, some fear, excitement, all those emotions. So when I called upon the transmissions, I did feel a calming, and I felt a tremendous that support that I've been feeling lately. It really was reminded that they're just so much there supporting me, and there was a real lightness about them, like a giggling kind of just happy lightness, and just saying, go for it. Everything's going to be fine. Don't take it too seriously. Do your best, and that's it. Don't let, you know, be present. And
beautiful. Beautiful. Now, what I'll be asking everyone, and so I'll start with you, Steve, is did you notice an additional shift when you added the call your soul home exercise that we just did?
I definitely did. And I really appreciate you saying that, because I did feel a shift when that happened, because my energy was kind of, you know, in that future thing. So that really helped me.
Mm-hmm. And how did it help you?
It just brought me to another level of calmness, of presence, and a peaceful presence.
Beautiful. Okay, thank you. All right, who'd like to go next? You're going to tell me, please, how you are registering the transmissions of grace, and also please add what shift you experienced from that one exercise of call your soul home and into your body. Who'd like to go next?
I will, because
yeah,
my guides were talking to or in the same playing field with Steve's, because my guides showed up like they were in a production of a Broadway musical, especially Grease.
Yeah.
And it was the same beauty school dropout. And my guides were the angelic beings. Singing to me is just like, you know that this is what you were meant to do, so go back and finish what you started.
Aww.
It's just like, oh my goodness. And it was just, we are having a good old time. And then when Bring My Soul in, it was just like, okay, I want to party too.
Fabulous.
Talking about giggling and smiling, I was just like, oh my gosh, this is so much fun.
Yep, and isn't it needed in our world? So amen to that.
Yes.
Thank you. And what about the call your soul home part of it?
Well, that was my soul showed up as another brighter being and said, it's about time. Let's finish this up and so you can help more people with their stories.
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful. So that's what you got after you did the Call Your Soul Home segment.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. All right, Barb, that leaves little old you, girl.
That does. I felt the usual tingling, and when it came time to call my soul home, I think I had sort of lost it, you know, during our little interlude there. And so I have to practice to keep it real, keep it here.
What does that mean?
To feel it more clearly. And I'm looking forward to having it giggling and whatnot.
Right.
So.
Right. Excellent. So with you, Barb, all that I really want to give you as coaching about all that is just allow that whatever happens is just fine.
Okay.
Because if you don't do that, you'll fall into the camp that you've heard Steve struggling with, which he seems to have really gotten a handle on and turned a corner, which is this beating up and defeating, and it's just not the right thing to do for yourself.
Yes, yes.
You know, so you know, let me just, the analogy that I want to give you is when you had been a teacher, or whenever you were monitoring students, I know, everybody on this call knows that if you had a student that was constantly beating themselves up and throwing themselves down under the bus, you would come rallying to empower them, to give them a bigger picture perspective. And you would have done everything in your power to help them not be a bully on themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you must do that for yourself now. This isn't you being humble. This isn't any of us being humble. It is now our responsibility, the way it's our responsibility to help pull somebody out of oncoming traffic, it's our responsibility to stop our bully from getting us around the neck, you know?
Yes. Yes.
It's not a luxury. It's not new agey. It's none of that. It's a very real energy, and we all know how it tanks us. And we can't afford to have our inspiration and our happiness and our courage and our inspiration tanked, at least not until after the November elections, as far as I'm concerned. You know, we really have to be mindful about our energy management and our emotions and our beliefs and our internal dialogue to ourselves absolutely impacts our energy management, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So those are my opinions, you know, and you take whatever works for you. I'm speaking to everybody, not just you, Barb. So now more than ever, between now and November, I'm challenging all of us to stay positive and to either remove yourself from negative conversations and gossip and mean-spirited, unconscious influences, or find a good way to tune it out, or make requests. Start drawing boundaries, because the ripple effect is very real. Their words, those thought forms, trigger something in us. And it takes a lot of energy to not get pulled down. Is everybody following me?
Yes.
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 Now, the reason I'm taking time in this class is because whatever I do has to do with light leaders in your business and in your household, your communities. And with all the stuff that's going on in the country, it just seems every couple of days there's something really bad that's happening. And so what are we going to do about it? All we can do is keep our own microcosmic space as responsible and savvy and high standard of the energies that we allow into our space. And that's why I want you to get back to the grounding and the protective shield, because if you're in a situation where you're around in an environment of negativity and bombardment, thicken that blue flame all around you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're bullying yourself, anybody, if you're bullying yourself, then that's your cue to throw it down the grounding cord and have a conversation with that part of you at a later date when you can really sit down and use any number of your techniques to resolve what the misalignment is. Does everybody follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Just quickly, let's go around the room and each of you tell me what was valuable to you about me saying that, because I did not plan to talk about that. So there's got to be a reason for it. Who wants to go first?
Well, I'll go. Just even earlier today, I kind of tuned into the news, and there's all the talk, you know, with the conventions and things going on. It's just filling the news, and there's a lot of passion behind people's opinions and emotions, and it can get kind of volatile at times. So this is a reminder for me to just, keep my boundaries, my aura boundaries up, and my own energy, and not let all that's going on affect me and bring me down knock me off my peace.
That's right. Thank you. Who else wants to go about how what I just said directly impacts you from your experiences thus far?
Well, I, at this time of year, always in election time, there's a point at which I stop listening to the news and I stop reading parts of the newspaper, because I just hate the negativity and the competition, the waste. And if the candidate of my choice loses, you know, then I say, well, where was I wrong, you know? And so this is the point at which I just will not listen to the news.
Yeah, and that also goes in conversations. It also goes in our relationships with our friends, with our spouses, or significant others. I'm asking you all just to consider my challenge that you step up with what you expose yourself to, whether it's from people who you are in no contact with, i.e. the media news, or people who are right there in your house under the same roof with you, you know, in the same car with you. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, great. How about you, Mary? Yeah, go ahead. Did you want to say more?
Yes, because social media is even more developed than it was 4 years ago. It just is so hateful.
Yes, it is. It is. And so our job, I mean, in fact, what I'm going to do after our class is I'm going to tag you all in a post that I wrote earlier today on my profile page with regards to, you know, my preference of who to be nominated. But what I want you to do is to read what I wrote in that post regarding people commenting on the thread, because that models the point that I'm making. So just, you know, sometime after our call, just, you know, look for you being tagged by me. And all I want you to do is just read that part. You don't have to listen to the video of Bernie Sanders or anything like that. Okay, so how about you, Mary? How did that piece about the negativity and the challenge to set boundaries and to have a clear sense of what you do and do not want in your space, how did that all speak to you?
Well, it was all about boundaries, personal and the outward boundaries, because it's not the way we would champion one of our clients not to let the inner critic win. We have to be our best champion and not let our inner critic rule our thoughts, and having boundaries about what is going to have an influence on us in the outside world as well. So it was all about boundaries from what I heard.
And how does... Yes, but how does that speak to you personally and how you operate in life and what's important to you and the kinds of challenges that you have?
It underscores that I am stepping up my game as far as speaking up for myself and making it clear how I'm going to play, and I'm not bowing down to others' strong arm. I want it to be a cooperative effort.
Yep. And if they don't choose to align with you, then you have your choices to make. I had to draw that line with a girlfriend of mine who's going through a lot right now, and she curses a lot. And it's with great intensity, and I just do not have the space for that. You know, I love her dearly and all that sort of thing. However, to me, it's toxicity. And I'm being very careful with my energy field these days. So I'm giving you an example in my own life. This is a friend of, like, since the 1990s or the early 2000s. So I'm sharing this with you because it's for us to speak our truth as lovingly and with as much respect as possible, and then do not be attached to the results, and to trust that you will be able to handle what comes from you speaking your truth. Make sense?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, deep breath. We're going to go into our protocol. I'm assuming everybody's in our Facebook group, and I'm assuming everyone has their copy of the presentation feedback sheet. And now I'm going to review the purpose of this course, which I do, as you know, the beginning of each of our sessions. The purpose of this course is to increase your confidence in building a life of meaning and fulfillment by enhancing your conscious access to your spiritual power. We are doing this by deliberately nurturing and activating your spiritual power success toolkit of intuition, psychic development, number 2, energy healing management, and number 3, deeper clarity about your soul purpose. With this confidence and skill, you can better design your outer world to be the lifestyle that you long to live as created consciously with your spiritual power toolkit of psychic intuition, energy management, and soul purpose. The other purpose of this course is for you to more deeply embody and understand your personal soul purpose mission, to live a fulfilling life for your personal journey, and to contribute to other people in big enough ways that light your fire, motivate you, and are playing big enough to keep you interested. Play a big enough game is the message on that one. And it's also for you to develop your skill in establishing conscious relationship with your spirit guides, your soul, and your personal power sovereignty. An example of you using your personal power sovereignty is by using your boundaries, being aware of what your boundaries are, having the self-love and the courage to assert your boundaries, and thereby claiming your personal power. Okay, the next thing is that I would suggest that you organize your note-taking to follow the lines of your feedback sheet when we are talking with the when we are hearing the presenters. And also, if we talk about something that pertains to intuition development and soul purpose and energy management, just find a way of having that organized in your notes so that you start to build a library during these classes where you know what is really related to intuition, psychic development, and really related to soul purpose content, and really related to energy management content. Does anybody have any questions about any of that?
No.
No.
Okay. Now, and as announcements, for our class number 5, we're going to be going into blogs or writing articles, and I'll be talking about that more at the very end. And for our class number 6 is when we're going to be doing videos. But, of course, you'll have plenty of time to get all that together. I just want you to know that the rest of this course is going to be focused on, yes, definitely more solidifying your intuitive access and your energy management awareness. Now we're moving more into the outer world in terms of bringing your anything, your gifts, your message, your presence, your visibility out into the world through marketing. So that's the path of our class, all aiming towards you completing the project that you want to complete by class number 8. Does that make sense? I just want to give you an overview.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, any questions about anything so far? We're not going to go over our home plate because of time. We'll do that in our class number 5. However, if anybody has any questions about anything, now is the time to ask from the past.
Well, I just want to comment, Sasha, that in our grounding process this time, you didn't have the piece about telling the negative spirits to stay away.
Okay.
And so I don't know if that's significant or not.
Okay, great. Let me just see what I want to say. Thank you for bringing that up. What happened there is, I am hoping that that would have been a natural response that you would do that anyway.
Okay.
And the fact that you even noticed it is fabulous. You get a gold star right there for that. And you're right. It wouldn't have hurt for me to repeat that. So I will say again now that any time you are putting around your shield, for you to establish in your own words something along the lines that you will only let in that which is serving you and that you choose to let in, and that you will only release out from your energy field only that which you choose to release out from your energy field, and that you are fully protected, that no harm can come to you, and that you will be amply alerted if there is any challenge or danger that you need to know about. And I will write this out for you. However, that is essentially something that should now become part of your practice, your routine.
Right.
So thank you for that, Barb. Does anybody have any questions about that?
No.
And that's particularly true. You can repeat it again when you are specifically asking questions of your guidance, such as when you're doing your daily journal exercises and you're asking guidance, that this should now be a part of your protocol for self-care and everything else that we've been talking about. Okay? And I thought that I had really landed that last session. However, you know, given that it's new to you, repeating it is something that I will now do. So thank you, Barb. Let's hear it for Barb. Yay!
Barb. Yay, Barb. Yay,
Barb. Okay, so now before we start the presentations, I'm going to teach you a new tool. So this is something that I would recommend and ask you to write up in your skills toolkit template. And this is also something for you to use as you are reaching for your goals, as you are programming for your goals. And also, you could use this if you really want to get this muscle strong and developed, is to use what I'm about to teach you every day where you're programming for how you want to feel at the end of each day. And you've all heard me coaching Steve on this in a different scenario, but essentially it's the same. You want to feel at the end of the day any number of uplifted, self-loving, self-acceptance kinds of emotions. However, I'm teaching you this now because I want you to, we're going to have you quickly learn this and do this with regards to the presentation that you're about to give. So I have called this tool Success Emotions Gymnastics. Success Emotions Gymnastics. I probably should copyright that at some point. I will. But for right now, you know that I'm the one that came up with this. Success Emotions Gymnastics. Trademark is what I mean, not copyright. Trademark. Success Emotions Gymnastics means you on demand creating within your nervous system, your cellular memory, your emotions, which then play out through your actions and what you say, the impact of feeling successful, no matter what. So here's how the exercise goes, and then we'll do a quick journey using it. So step number one is you have a intention of what you want to create. So step number one, aside from grounding and clearing yourself, is typically set your intention. And step number two is how you want to feel once that intention is successfully accomplished. And step number three is a holographic, I'll explain what I mean by that, a holographic visualization of how that successful outcome impacts the rest of your life or your current, the totality of your current life and into the future. So holographic means multisensory. In this case, it's what I mean, multisensory. So a multisensory visualization of how this successful outcome impacts your life. I'm just taking a minute so you can make some notes. So this is a very distilled version of what I taught in our last membership call of that 15-step process. Did everybody listen to that membership call?
Yes.
Everybody?
Yes.
No.
I heard Barb.
I have it to listen to it tomorrow.
Ah. Okay, good. So, Mary, please promise me you will.
Yes. Ran out of time today.
Okay, and give yourself time to really listen to it without multitasking. It's very well, who wants to just say a word about the experience of that training on you for Mary's sake?
Well, this one of these steps you're mentioning tonight of visualizing how it will feel, how you want to feel and how it will feel, of course, was one of those 15 steps. It's powerful. Powerful. You're sort of going through the steps, 1 through 15 is an important progression.
Yes, thank you. How about you, Steve? How did it impact you?
Well, it's something that long ago I realized this power when you infuse this energy and emotion, like more than on the mental level, when you're just thinking about it, just in thought, but when you take that into experience, then that just supercharges the energy, and you have this amazing attraction and energy that starts to happen over just having a mental thought about it. You start to give it like energy and life.
Right. Wonderful. Okay, Mary, I would like you to please put a comment in our Summer Success Facebook group when you have listened to that training and what were the highlights for you. Now that you heard the highlights from the others, what the highlights are for you from that training. Would you be willing to do that?
Yes, I will do that.
Okay. Yeah, and I don't mean to sound like I'm picking on you, but that particular training is critical for the success of everyone accomplishing their project at the end of this course.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yay.
It's interesting, Sasha, that a few weeks ago, before the July training, you said, well, the July training won't be so tied to your summer program, but it'll be important. And now it is. It's very important. It's very essential. So it does feed in so beautifully.
Steve, do you want to comment on that?
No. I love
one
hearing
another.
Bob. He is just putting in so many great comments. Love to hear him.
Yeah. No, the reason I said that was because the reason I said that, Barb, was because at the time I didn't know that we would have all of us now also still in the membership.
I got you.
And when I found out that everybody was still in the membership and our class, then I went back to my usual process of having the membership call be a bonus or a complimentary module to our course. That's why I said that, and that's why it seemed like what you just said.
Thank you.
Okay, because at one point it looked like we weren't going to have everybody, and then it shifted, so we did, and so I was able to do that. So thank you for just confirming that it's all dovetailing and it's all, you know, synchronistic for all of you, not disjointed, but one thing is feeding into the other. That's exactly the way I want it to be.
Right.
Okay, so here we go on our success gymnastics. So what I'd like you to do is to take a moment with your eyes open and write down the intention of what you want to feel after you give your presentation today. The intention of how you want to feel at the end of your presentation today. Then for step number two, come up with two main characteristic emotions that you absolutely want to feel. So it would be taking number one and chiseling it down to two specific emotions that you want to feel after you give your presentation. And number three, what we'll do when we get there is you're going to do a quick visualization, because I'm going to make it quick, where you notice how you feel and what you see and what you hear by having delivered an awesome presentation. So is everybody clear about those three pieces? Because we're going to go do it now.
Yes.
Okay. So let's have you close your eyes, take three deep breaths, and set your intention, remind yourself of your intention, and get crystal clear about how you want to feel at the close of your presentation today. And number three, see yourself having just completed your presentation, and it was awesome. Hear, see, and feel. And open your eyes. Was everybody able to do that?
Yes.
Okay. Let's do it again. Close your eyes. Get clear about your intention. Get clear about the two emotions you want to feel. And number three, you just finished the presentation and it was awesome. See, hear, and feel. Okay, and open your eyes. So how was that for everybody? Let's hear briefly. Let's go around the room. What was that like for you, Steve?
It was deeply empowering. I felt, I can see it, I can feel it, I can imagine the whole thing already transpiring and how I feel it when it's done. It's already done, actually.
Yes, exactly. Excellent. How about you, Mary? What was that like for you?
I loved the symmetry, the beauty of how things built on each other, and the final result of knowing the presentation, it delivers what I want it to.
Yes. And how about you, Barb, dear?
Yes, that I want to feel that I made sense, and there's sort of a joy and a gratitude and maybe a hint of relief.
Sure. So this is an exercise that I would really love for you to get extremely comfortable doing on an everyday basis, because you are creating your reality by doing this. You are programming yourself even for the smallest things. So you are building a muscle like in gymnastics, where you are going from one position, which might not be a successful position, to creating a feeling of being successful in a successful position. This would be something to do before meeting with a client, a potential client, having a difficult conversation with somebody, having a conversation that is very critical for somebody that may not be professionally oriented. Anything at all. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now we're going to switch gears entirely, and the way that we're going to work this is, because I went in a different direction at the beginning of this call, we're going to do the presentations back to back so that there's no question that everyone has their full time. So what's going to happen is after we have somebody give their presentation, I'm going to ask you to fill out that form for that person. Then we'll move on to the next person. And then the next person, and then we will go ahead and give feedback at the end. So please have your sheets ready to take notes, and as the person is giving their presentation, be familiar with what those sections are in that form. Everybody understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So when each of you give your presentation, please give the title of your presentation so that, number one, everyone can fill out their form, and number two, we can narrow our listening. Okay, so we're going to have 20 minutes per person, and in that 20 minutes, if you have an offer, which I've asked you to please do, we're going to have you give that offer within that 20 minutes, and at the 20-minute mark, I will say stop. So hopefully you will be ready to stop when I say stop. Okay, now there's one last energy management intuition setup step for you. And that is, I'd like you all to close your eyes and call in your soul. And you have a choice. You can either call in your own soul, the soul of you, or you can call in the soul essence of your presentation. So do that now. And when each of you have a feel, some kind of an awareness that that soul quality is there with you, say ready.
I feel ready.
Okay.
Ready.
Okay.
I'm pulling on the string of the kite.
Good.
To reel it in.
Okay. And do you have a sense of your soul so that you know viscerally that soul is there with you?
I'm going to have to believe that it is.
Okay, excellent. All right, so those are your setups. You do your success gymnastics, which we did, and you call upon the soul. yours or the soul of your presentation, and that's your setup to give your presentation. So now, who would like to go first?
I'd be honored and delighted to go first.
Okay. All right. Whenever you're ready, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'd like to start off by telling you a little bit about myself. My name is Steve Hartman. I grew up in the Midwest in Illinois, kind of small town USA. And I think, like a lot of other kids and teenagers growing up, struggled with the same, you know, kind of challenges and problems and that face growing up. After I graduated high school, wasn't really sure what to do with my life and kind of got lost in just the day-to-day activities of living and making money and kind of a little bit lost in the partying and drugs and that too. Not really having any real direction in my life. Oh, I'm sorry. By the way, the name of my my little presentation here is The Passion Test.
Thank you.
Yes. Having graduated and just started to work on surviving, and just having turned 19, a friend of mine introduced me to an organization that was a worldwide organization that had a theology of unification of religions and races and cultures and things like that, and that really inspired me to the point where I literally dropped everything, sold the rest, and gave away whatever was left, and pretty much moved into a communal living situation as a full-time missionary with a suitcase full of clothes. And I was really dedicated to that cause. It inspired me, and it compelled me to work really hard. And I ended up traveling around the country, United States, and even a couple parts of the different parts of the world working this missionary work. For about 12 years, I was very dedicated to that, at which point I met my first wife, and we began to settle down and have a family. At that point, I moved back to the Midwest, to Illinois, and my focus shifted to now I had some mouths to take care of and to raise and feed and shelter. So my focus shifted more toward just surviving, and I started a business to begin to make some money to raise my family. So, in a sense, my consciousness shifted from a kind of a worldwide or national consciousness to more of a family consciousness, also having to do with my purpose. At that point, really my family started to become my purpose, in a sense. You know, I was really living on my kids and my family meant a lot to me, and that was sort of a motivation for me going out to work, even at a job, a task that wasn't really inspiring to me, but because of the cause, I kept doing it. Well, a few years later, I ran into this thing called the Passion Test. And this Passion Test is based on a book that was written by Chris and Janet Atwood, which went on to become a New York Times bestseller. And in this Passion Test, I found it was a real shift for me in consciousness, because I started to realize that there was a whole world inside of me that I hadn't really discovered yet. And I began to open up to just knowing more about myself. And I'm going to share with you some of the real keys to what this Passion Test is all about. And one of the really important keys to the Passion Test is that it brings clarity. The real purpose of the Passion Test is clarity, because when you are clear, what you want will show up in your life, and only to the extent that you are clear. Clarity, I found, does not come all at once. It's a process. The Passion Test supports the process of gaining clarity by forcing us to choose what really means the most to us. Then it gives us a simple barometer in our top five passions against which to measure every choice we make in our lives. While the things that appear in one's life after taking the passion test and gaining greater clarity often appear magical. Living life aligned with one's passions is not a passive process. Having completed the entire passion test process, it is critical to begin taking action in whatever direction feels like it will move us toward living our passions more completely. Then the key is to stay open to the way life shows up, because it will always be different than we think it will. When we are open to the way our life is appearing and are willing to let go of the way we think it should be, then we let go of our will and surrender to God's will. When we do that, the results will always be better than anything we can imagine. A second key to the passion test is the passion test formula for creating anything you want in your life. And it is as follows: intention, attention, no tension. Intention is consciously stating what you choose to create in your life as the first step to manifesting it. Attention, your life becomes like that on which you put your attention. Give attention to that which you choose to create in your life, and it will begin to show up. Action engages attention. And finally, no tension. When you're open to what is appearing in this moment, you allow God's will to move through you. When you hold tightly to your concepts of how things should be, you shut off the flow of life, which in turn prevents you from enjoying the fulfillment of living your personal destiny. A third key to the passion test is understanding that you are powerful. What you believe, you create. The world is created first within us, then on the outside. If you believe that you must work hard to get ahead, then you will have to work very hard to get ahead. If you believe that you must have money to follow your passions, then you will need money before you can enjoy your life. If you believe you can create your world from your clear intentions, then you will. If you want to see how powerful you are, look at your own life now. It is the expression of all the beliefs you have held until now. The good news is, though, if you don't like the movie, you can change it. Another key, and these are really obstacles to prevent us from really fulfilling a passionate life, and these are false beliefs, false ideas, and false concepts. In the passion test is one of the most effective tools I've ever found for undoing limiting beliefs and opening up to all the magnificent possibilities in my life and in your life. A fourth very important key is what you put your attention on grows stronger in your life. Your world will morph to reflect your attention. The passion test helps create reminders in your life to give attention to those things you choose to create in your life. You'll learn to see setbacks as opportunities. You'll learn to see failures as lessons. Learn to see that you've been spared when something you thought you wanted doesn't appear. You'll come to know that the universe is created for your fulfillment. Everything in your life happens to enable you to experience the greatest possible joy. You learn to surrender into what is happening now. A fifth and very important key is whenever you are faced with a choice, a decision, or an opportunity, you'll learn to choose in favor of your passions. You choose in favor of what has greatest meaning for you. The most important principle of living a passionate life is commitment. So until you are really committed, nothing can happen for you. Learn to choose in favor of your passions. Even if everyone around you says you're crazy or disapproves or judges you in other ways for it. This is the secret every enduring successful person has learned. Another very important key is expansion and contraction are natural phases of life. They're neither good nor bad. They're simply signals guiding us in the direction of greater fulfillment. Expansion and contraction are really not good or bad. They're just signals to move forward and take action, or stop, reflect, take it easy, and come back to the self. Understanding these signals means experiencing joy in the expansion. You're excited, you're turned on, you're ready to move forward, and taking joy in the contraction, this signal to rest, have fun, relax, take it easy. Expansion and contraction express the cycles of activity and rest in life. Both are essential for a fulfilled life. This is life. Breathing in, breathing out. The only suffering is when we think life should be other than the way it is. Life is here to enjoy. The purpose of life is the expansion of happiness. Following your passions means following your bliss. And finally, the passion test is the one test you can never fail. There's no way to do the passion test wrong. The points that I teach are simple guidelines based on what has helped me and others get the maximum benefit from the test. You begin from wherever you are. There's no wrong answers. If what's most important to you in your life right now is owning a brand new Ferrari, let's say, well, then you write that down. There's no judgment around any of your passions, what is important to you. I found that as people take the passion test over a period of years, they tend to go deeper and deeper into their passions. And as this happens, their passions tend to change less and less. So just remember, your passions, the things that are most important to you, are leading you along the path of your life's purpose. Stay aligned with them, and you will fulfill your destiny, knowingly or unknowingly. So, to recap, what's in it for you with the passion test? Well, you will gain clarity about those things that are most important in your life. You'll discover your passions, which are clues to your personal destiny. The passion test will give you valuable information on how to begin living your passions today. You'll learn the one secret to guarantee a passionate life. And very importantly, you'll learn to be you. No one can do you as well as you can. You're all unique. You have unique gifts. No one can give the world the gifts that you have personally, what makes you you. You know, just recently there was a Gallup study done.
You have 5 minutes left.
Yep. A Gallup study done in 2014 that found that only 30% of working Americans are passionate and engaged about what they do. That means 70% are unhappy. The passion test is a simple, powerful way to clarify what is most important in your life. When you are clear, what you choose to have show up in your life will, and only to the extent you are clear. It has been said that clarity is power. So you can take the first and most important step in creating anything you choose to have in your life. And really, how many people stop to take time to go within and see what is really important? What you believe in your heart of hearts is what you create from within yourself. So this sounds like, you know, to be able to find the happiness in your life, the passion, and just to turn your life around, and with the thought of being able to live a totally full-out passionate life, what is something like that worth to you? What price do you put on the happiness and fulfillment of your life? Some people might say, man, that's worth anything. I would give anything for that. Well, what about $5,000? Would it be worth $5,000 to you that you could turn your life around and wake up in the morning, open your eyes and say, man, I am so fortunate. I can't wait to live my passionate day today of my passionate life. Some will say, I would absolutely worth it. Well, what if it was only $1,000? Is $1,000 a price that you can put on your happiness to turn your life around and begin to live the life that you've always envisioned? What if we cut that in half? What about 500? at that price, you're probably saying, I'll take two to live that life you've always imagined. Well, a course like this can be available to you, is offered at the low price of $397. But because you all come highly recommended by my good friend Sasha, I have a special offer that you can have all the things I just talked about for the investment of just $297. Think about it. Less than a dollar a day for a year. That's a couple cups of coffee a week, right, at Starbucks? This, you can change your life. You know, it takes courage to live a passionate life. Sometimes we just need to put our foot down in our life and say, now's the time. I choose happiness. I choose passion. So good luck to you all. I'll be in the back of the room. Bye.
Thank you. Yay, Steve. Yay! Okay. Beautiful job, Steve. I knew it was in you. Yay. Okay, so everyone, please focus on your handout. You're not going to fill it out totally. Just look at the sections and put down some trigger words and phrases, because what you'll do is after our class, you'll fill it out entirely. So go ahead and do that. Let me know when you have captured your main thoughts to give Steve thorough feedback, and then we'll move on to the next speaker. Great job, Steve. Just relax. You did great, especially your clothes. Absolutely perfect.
Thank you.
So, Barb and Mary, just let me know when you have your keywords down to fill it in later. Okay, are you ready to wrap up, ladies?
Yes.
Mary? Okay,
yes.
Great. Great job. So what I'm going to do, is the way that we'll work this out is after today's session, please go back and really be thorough and then upload your sheets in our Facebook group so that you can all read each other's feedback. And I'll decide how I'm going to deliver my feedback to each of you. I have to be guided as to how to do that since we're going in a slightly different direction today. So we are absolutely going to be focusing on feedback. Don't feel that you're not going to get the feedback from your dear brothers and sisters here. That's the way we're going to do it. Any questions about that before we go to the next person?
No.
No.
Okay, good. Does that sound good to all of you?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. I only heard two yeses.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So who'd like to go next?
I can go.
Okay, great. So now let's have you do your setup. You send down your grounding cord. You do a quick gymnastic success. And you call in the soul, either of the presentation or your own soul. And you should do that very quickly. Let me know when you're ready to start.
Ready.
Perfect. Go. Name of the presentation.
This is a presentation to the CEO, CIO, and CCO of a company where I would like to offer my services. Thank you for meeting with me today. In the next 15 minutes, I want to briefly explore with you three important concepts and how they affect your business and ultimately affect your bottom line. Those concepts are information, risk, and protection. Information, risk, and protection. Then I'll explain how my services protect your ROI, your return on investment, and answer questions you may have. Information is the lifeblood of any business. Quality information is essential for making informed decisions. It's gold. In this digital age, information or content is just a click away. So your business is a consumer of information. Regardless of your industry, you also create information. You create content. You create a website, marketing materials, print or online. You may create white papers. You might have a blog or a newsletter or a magazine or a book. You may post on social media, and any of these may include photos, charts, video, audio. All of these constitute your public presence. In addition to the content you produce for consumption by others, you also create content strictly for internal purposes, policies and procedures, manuals, best practices, instructions, procedures for complying with various human resources regulations. You share email and letters and documents among your staff. Those staff members may be gathered under one roof or scattered across the country or around the world. Your intranet becomes a vital resource. So we consume and create and share information and content. This leads to our second concept of risk. As with anything in life, we all face risk. But you, as a business owner, come face to face with risk every day. Risk with a capital R. Risks that could destroy your business and all you've invested in time, money, energy, and reputation. I've already emphasized the importance of information. Now let's call that content. What are the risks associated with that content? When you look for information on the internet and elsewhere, you know that you often are deluged with results. And of course, just because it's on the internet doesn't mean it's true, accurate, valid, or reliable, despite what someone may say. So you have to evaluate what you find. Is the source legitimate? Are the writers reputable? And can the information be verified? But in addition to those concerns, we need to ask, who created that content? Who owns the rights to that content? How can you use that content? The copyright holder has the exclusive rights to reproduce, distribute, create derivative works, publicly display, or publicly perform the content. That's reproduce, distribute, create derivative works, publicly display, or publicly perform. The owner may authorize others to exercise those rights, typically through licenses. Copyright is automatic for eligible content. Original works, creative authorship, the moment they are fixed in a tangible medium, they are copyrighted. Because a copyright notice, a C in a circle, is no longer required to indicate that something is protected by copyright, and because registration with the U.S. Copyright Office is no longer required, it can appear that something found on the internet is free to use. That assumption can lead to very expensive and time-consuming litigation When a letter arrives in the mail from an attorney, who's not your attorney, stating that you have infringed on someone's copyright-protected material. You have not sought permission or license. You or your staff didn't know it was not free to use. You would never steal content you knew was copyrighted. In addition to paying a large fee for a license or even going to court, it probably involves pulling content from your website. You may even have to scrap an entire print marketing campaign and start over from scratch. What should you do? How could you avoid that risk? What about the original content that your business has created? How do you protect your investment of time and money? Unauthorized users, also known as pirates, may intentionally run off with your content, and then you have to deal with them. Again, taking time and resources to reestablish the integrity of your content and your business and your reputation. But there are measures you can take to mitigate the risks in both of these scenarios, you as consumer and you as creator of content. And that leads us to the third concept. Protection. How can your company avoid infringing on others' copyright-protected work? How can your company protect your original content, your gold? Just as you plan for various situations in your business by thoughtfully writing policies and procedures to avoid catastrophe, you want to plan how you protect your content, your gold, your return on investment, before something disastrous happens. That's called risk management. And in the case of copyrightable content, an awareness of copyright law basics is valuable. Copyright skills serve as risk management tools. I provide that awareness, those tools. How? I give your business a copyright physical to gauge its copyright health. I review your public presence, your website, your marketing materials, etc., and give it either a clean bill of health or recommend some procedures. Then I work with you to develop policies or best practices around copyright that are customized to your business. We'll talk about how you can better protect your original content, what content is eligible for copyright protection, and will be much more specific than is possible in this brief presentation. It requires analysis on a case-by-case basis. Will you register the copyright-protected content with the U.S. Copyright Office? Will you license access to others? Who will write the license? How much will it cost? Who will be the contact person in your organization? What's the workflow? Who in your organization is authorized to post on social media, etc.? And several other questions that we would explore. Likewise, we'll develop best practices around using others' content. What has been licensed by your company? What are the permitted or not permitted uses? What are the guidelines for using content from the internet? What are terms of use and how do they apply to your business? How comfortable are you with risk on a scale from 1 to 10? Who will be the contact person in your organization to do a preliminary evaluation of content and decide whether permission or license should be sought? If a charge of infringement is communicated to you, what is the protocol for dealing with that issue? So don't wait until that letter comes from an attorney who's not your attorney. Planning ahead makes a difference. Most situations do not require the legal advice from an attorney. Having established your best practices will offer guidelines for your business, for your employees. But this isn't a management-only concern. Knowledge of the basics of copyright, dispelling myths and misunderstandings about the application of copyright law in the digital age will be valuable for all employees, and a review on an annual basis as the murkiness of the law shifts. I design appropriate customized training for staff, and I do bring some fun to a potentially very dull subject. I bring my boots. I bring my goggles. We venture into the gray murky ooze that is copyright law in the digital age. So to review, we've examined the relationships among information and content, risk and protection, and how important a grasp of the copyright basics can be to the health and survival of this company. Think of it as an investment in health insurance for your company. You hope you never need it, but it's important protection. I'm happy to do a brief health screening of a marketing piece to illustrate this process and then prepare a customized proposal of what I can do within various budget parameters. Thank you very much for your time. Are there any questions? Done.
What's your offer?
The brief health screening and the customized proposal.
And is there a charge for that?
The brief health screening and, no, there's no charge, and there's no charge for the customized proposal. But, of course, I won't be giving away the farm.
Right, right. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. That was excellent, Barb. Whoa! Okay. Yay, Barb!
Man, if I had a company, I would be calling you.
Absolutely fabulous. Okay, everybody, get your thoughts organized. Pull out your handout and write some trigger words, phrases, so that you remember what Barb did. And when you're finished, say ready and we'll move on. That was fabulous, Barb. Just great. And let me know when, Steve and Mary, when you've completed that, and we'll move on.
I think I have pretty much my keywords written down here.
Okay, let's wait for Mary then.
Okay.
Wonderful. Okay, Barb, take that deep breath, honey. You deserve it. Okay, good. All right, Mary, darling. So go ahead and get yourself ready by sending down your grounding cord. You're going to call in either your soul or the soul essence of this presentation, and you're going to do a quick success emotion gymnastic in your energy field and let us know when you're ready.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead.
I am just beginning. The pen's in my hand. Ending unplanned. Natasha Benefield. Welcome to Unwritten, The Pen's in My Hand. I'd like to acknowledge Sasha as a true visionary and thank her for her faith in me and extending this invitation for me to speak to you today. And I'd like to acknowledge all of you for being here today and saying yes to the experience of exploring how writing your unwritten story can impact your business and your life. Can I tell you why I'm so passionate about Unwritten, The Pen's in My Hand? Thank you. Life is great. I live in a beautiful part of the world on the California coast. I am active in my community, which is a small town, but feels so at home because it's close to big city amenities. I get to pick who I work with, and I work with some amazing women who inspire me. I'm doing what I love to do. I know that my writing has an impact on the quality of my life and the lives of those around me. But it hasn't always been that way. I was the good girl growing up, watching Donna Reed and reading Irma Bombeck stories about everyday life. And they were funny. She was a huge hit. Does anyone remember Irma?
Yeah.
Yeah. I decided to go to school to be a journalist. I thought because Irma did it, it was possible for me. The problem was that nobody else believed it was possible for me. Hmm. People in my little Midwestern town said, "College, Mary, are you crazy? That's for the smart kids." My higher education was a 1-year secretarial certificate. But I never let go of my dream of telling stories the way Irma did. They laughed at me when I eventually applied to the School of Journalism at the University of Minnesota at the ripe old age of 30. But I persisted, and I was accepted, and spent my 4 years there, working part-time as a secretary to pay for my tuition. And no, I never reported from a war zone or from a TV studio. But what I have been doing for the past 30 years is to tell real people's stories. That's journalism, too. And that matters. Shining the light on real people's stories and putting them in the spotlight. I'll give you everything I can in the time allowed now, but don't worry, for those of you who want more, I will let you know how we can work together further. Nobody can tell my story but me. Would you say that with me? Nobody can tell.
Nobody can tell my story but me.
But me. Now turn to your neighbor and give him a high five while you say it. Nobody can tell my story but me.
Nobody can tell my story but me. I'm doing that to my cat.
Yeah. Now I'd like you to settle into your chair. And close your eyes if you're comfortable doing that. But I want you to go on a little imaginary trip. I want you to see yourself a year from now. You have been telling your story. You are inspired by the wisdom of your own words. It may be a blog, an article, a chapter in a book, or an entire book. You have deep-rooted connections and are confident in your core message and your gifts. You've crafted your legacy. Now let's talk about where you are today. Who is writing your story? Is it your boss? Your spouse? Your children? Maybe it's family members. May I tell you my secret to unwritten the pens in my hand? Number one, I invite you to make a list of what would your life be if you don't do this. Consider that deep longing that you are not doing what God created you to do. How big is the price
of you not doing this. Perhaps there's complication with your health. You're stifling your creativity. Number two, focus on people who need to hear your story. Your story matters to the people who need to hear it. Have you ever read a book that changed your life? What if that author thought the story didn't matter? And have you ever told your story to a friend and they said it changed their life? What if your story could change thousands of lives if it was written? Focus on the people who need to hear your story, and then you'll be the writer you need to be. I get passionate and choked up about this because I want this, your story, to be heard. And finally, don't share your dreams with the people who have killed every dream you've shared. And the corollary here is that you need a mentor on your side. Because the problem is there are people who need us to stay small and don't support us. I was encouraged not to pursue a writing career by my mother because it wasn't realistic. I shared with my family a draft of my book, The Secret Artist, Give Yourself Permission to Let Your Creativity Shine, about my two breast cancer experiences. And my younger sister questioned whether my breast cancer experience was real because I didn't lose my hair and I didn't suffer through invasive treatments the way she did. And that's why I created my signature system and designed a group program from making dinner to making a difference to be sure I finish my writing my book and support others like myself who were stopped in our tracks to have a safe place to write their book. My book will be at the publishers in November of 2016. Woohoo! Nobody can tell my story but me. With your pen in hand, write your unwritten story. I am committed to you knowing the importance of your story and how I believe this group program could be the answer you are looking for. I'd like to share a brief sketch of what my signature six-month program, From Making Dinner to Making a Difference, covers. And this is why I provided you with a handout. The S stands for This Is Your Sacred Journey. The T is that you're uncovering your truth, what's for you alone. The O is that you're sharing your own the story of your evolution and your passion. R, receive your unique wisdom of the lessons designed for you alone. And Y, you've arrived. This is your legacy. I promise to let you know how we can keep in touch. I am offering a deeper dive into your story. I'm offering the Pens in My Hand strategy session. During this 90-minute session, we will gather information about your sacred journey, about your story, your unique story. The special price for you today
is 197. This is the first module of my signature six-month program, From Making Dinner to Making a Difference. If you choose to sign up today for the entire program after our strategy session, I will credit the 197 towards your monthly 497 tuition. Who's with me?
I'm there.
Yay! Thank you. I'll meet you in the back of the room.
Is that the end, sweetie, or is there more?
Yes, that's the end.
So wrap it up so we have a tight close.
Thank you for your time and attention today.
Wonderful. Yay, Mary! Okay, so everybody, gather your focus, look at the handout, and write down the key thoughts that you want to make sure you remember to share with Mary in your more in-depth feedback sheet. And let me know, Barb and Steve, when you're done.
Yeah, thank you. Yep.
Okay, great. So everybody, take a deep breath, close your eyes. Let me know when you're all with your eyes closed, no multitasking, etc.
Okay, I'm
ready.
There.
Okay. Everybody, Steve, you ready?
Yep, ready.
Okay. So now go back to your success emotion gymnastics and get in touch with how you want it to feel and get in touch with how you do now feel that you've given your presentation. And now open your eyes and I'll go around the room where you'll tell how each of you will say how you now feel after having done your presentation in comparison to what you created internally using your success emotion gymnastic. Who wants to go first?
Sure, I could go. I feel like it manifested into exactly what I imagined it would be. I felt relieved, but I felt like empowered, like, okay, I gave it, and my intention was to move people, and I felt that at the end.
Great. Who wants to go next?
I will.
I wanted
to be confident and have fun and deliver value and just filled with joy. That it's evolving every time. It's a new experience, and it's so tingly, and just all of the energy is, I'm vibrating.
And so how do you feel now in comparison to what you created during your success emotion gymnastic?
Multiplied.
Oh, great.
Okay, so what would you say that the success emotion gymnastic did for you?
It was a container to, or it was a strategy to create the container for me to be a witness to what I wanted to happen.
Okay, now please say that again more specifically. What did the what did the success emotion gymnastic exercise do for you, associated with how you now feel after having done the presentation?
The strategy, what are we calling it? The success emotion.
Success emotion gymnastics.
The success emotion gymnastics is a delicious way to prepare and step into what I want to happen and project myself having success and all of the emotions that I want to experience before it has physically happened, so that I am experiencing deja vu when it does happen.
Great. So do you feel that the success gymnastic helped at all, or do you feel you would have pretty much had these emotions anyway, given that you gave such a great presentation?
I would have had a degree of them, but they were not as anchored and so clear. That's why I said it was amplified and multiplied.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you. And how about you, Ms. Barb? How did the before and after work for you? Meaning, how you felt now after doing the presentation in comparison to what you created for yourself through the success emotion gymnastics?
I wanted to feel that I made sense, and I believe that I did. I wanted to feel joy and gratitude and relief, which I do. The visualization of afterward, I'm not quite sure. And I'm a as you know, a perfectionist, and so I can see the things that I should have done differently, and so I'm trying to send those down the cord as not serving me right now.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a very good experience because I haven't actually given this presentation before. I've given it to to other practitioners. So I wanted to do this as a sales presentation. The fact that it's hard to put a price on it is because it's hard to put a price on it. It's all individualized thing.
And that's okay, because the instruction was you don't have to charge, or you can put a figure on it. So that's all fine. You know, nothing, no problem there. How did you feel? I'm going to go back to the question. So I'd like you, Barb, to take a deep breath and focus on the center of your chest, which is where the heart chakra is, okay?
Yes.
So allow the movement of your mind to be like if you've ever gone underwater, like in a pool or in a very clear, quiet lake or a stream, and as you're underwater, you look up and you see the sky above the water. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
That's I'd like you to be in your heart center as if you're submerged underwater, and you're looking up through the surface of the water, and all that activity above the waterline, the clouds moving and birds flying by, are like your thoughts, but you are rooted in your heart center, okay?
Okay.
Good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So my question is, how do you feel after having given the presentation in comparison to what you were able to recreate by doing the success emotion gymnastic?
I felt what I had created, that I made sense, that I had joy and gratitude and relief. Those are what I projected, and they are what I feel.
That's awesome! Yay! Let's give Bob a hand. Let's give all of us a hand. Yay! Okay, now I'm going to ask you all another question. We'll go around the room, and that is, tell me to the best of your ability how you calling in your soul or the soul essence of your presentation, evoking it, invoking it, knowing that that energy was there with you. And don't say anything that you think is pretty snappy and, you know, like really evolved. Be very authentic. How did that affect you in giving your presentation and maybe even throughout a certain parts of your presentation? So who'd like to go first on that? And Barb, excuse me, I'm going to interrupt before anybody answers. Barb, once again, keep your attention, please, in the center of your chest and allow your amazing mind, the thoughts that stream, to be, you know, distant as if you're watching them underwater at these beautiful cloud formations and all kinds of birds flowing by, but they're distant. You're going to stay rooted in your heart chakra. Does that make sense, Barb?
Yes.
Okay, so who would like to tell us first the impact of you evoking the soul concept?
Sure, I had a little reaction toward that. When you said call in your soul or your soul essence,
let me just interrupt for a second. Soul essence of the presentation, right?
Yeah, of the presentation.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Yes, please continue.
Then I felt like my energy shifted to not just like the content of what I was presenting, but to the importance of conveying more the essence or the energy or the importance of what I was saying. So I more didn't just focus on through the content, but making sure that what I said, what I conveyed, was more of almost a feeling rather than just the words. I wanted to move people with the feeling, not just the words. That's what I felt.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. Who else?
Yeah, I agree with Steve that it was an opportunity to, or an invitation to view the presentation on another level and as an entity, and so there was a new relationship with it. And it was so gratifying to see the life force and the energy in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm, beautiful. Anything else?
No, I'm going to use that every time I speak.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great.
How about you, Barb?
I think that my spirit guides, I felt my spirit guides with me. Sort of cheering me on. And I had rehearsed it, and so I knew it was in within the time. So I was able to ad lib and embellish in parts, and felt safe in doing that, felt comfortable doing that.
And how does that connect, do you think, to you calling upon your soul or calling upon your soul essence, or from what you're saying, whatever you invoked, whoever was invoked, who showed up, were your spirit guides, right? Mm-hmm. How does that bridge with you feeling like you could embellish and so on?
I felt safe. I felt comfortable. And, of course, this is a friendly crowd, so it's a safe place to experiment a little. And I think bringing my soul home helped build that confidence.
Yes. So now let's go around the room, and then we'll wrap up with, and Mary already gave a part of her answer, for you to, each of you to share what kinds of situations in your life do you now know that you would use the success emotion gymnastics and invoking, eliciting your soul or the soul essence of something. Is my question clear to everybody? Any questions about it, what I'm asking?
Yes.
No, I think it's clear.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'd like you to report as succinctly as possible on when you would use each of those exercises, techniques, in your day-to-day life. Who wants to go first?
Well, I could go. You know, I'm involved in Toastmasters, and I could see, you know, I give speeches there, and I could see this being really valuable to just get me kind of grounded and focused and just add that extra element, that extra dimension, when I go up to present whatever it is I'm presenting, even if it's on some more, you know, external kind of thing. And then, honestly, when I'm talking to people and maybe there's a situation arise where they're in some way maybe seeking some advice or counsel, not necessarily, you know, overtly, but just somehow in them telling me what they're telling me, I could bring all these things in and really get access that higher guidance. That's what I would,
yes.
I would think to you.
That's correct. That's correct. Good. Who'd like to go next?
Well, I'll go. I can see how the SEG, I'm abbreviating it as, can be used in any and every situation beforehand to visualize how I want to feel about the outcome, how visualizing the outcome, I guess, as a success, and that builds confidence.
Mm-hmm. That means personal and professional. That could be having a talk with your neighbor next door who keeps playing their music too loud, all the way to a potential client, you know?
Yes.
Good. Okay, Mary, how about you, dear?
Barb said what I was going to say, because I can see the technique as being beneficial to everything and being proactive about what the outcome is that you want.
So where in your immediate life, with the things that are on your table, let's say, on your plate for, let's say, the next week, where do you see that you will or could, or both, use both of those techniques? One, of doing the success emotion gymnastic, as Barb calls it, the SEG, or calling the soul essence of the situation, or calling upon your own soul. Let's be specific.
So Thursday, when I'm going to the networking event, I'm going to be grounded and have a specific vision of how many new people I'm going to engage with and how many people I'm going to have scheduled discovery sessions with and get their information and book a time.
Great. Now, the important thing here for all of you to get is that the success emotion gymnastic, the signature aspect of that particular technique is to capture the feeling, the emotional reaction to having just successfully completed your intention. Step three is more embellishing the entire visualization, which you all have been doing with me ever since you began in the membership and also privately working with me. The difference between step two and step three of what we talked about today is the moment that you finish your intention and you know that you have succeeded. That is the emotion that you want to capture and keep running through your nervous system. Everybody understand what I just said?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the visualizations that you've done are pretty much step four of our energy management technique, where after you've put up your shield, you then create a visualization that's multisensory of whatever it is you want to create. So you already know that step from having worked with me in different techniques and situations. This is different because we are narrowing in on one sliver of focus, and that is the very moment success has been reached. How does that feel? You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So for you, Mary, you want to focus on the moment that you have done whatever you've done, a presentation, and the room just explodes and people come to the back of the room and sign up for a discovery session with you. Barb, what would it be for you?
That the client is smiling and leading forward to become more involved.
No. The moment that you would want would be they've paid you, you did it, you got the sale.
Ah.
Right? Isn't that ultimately what you want?
Yes.
Have I mistaken something?
So the success is making the sale, or the success is finishing the presentation?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. So this client that you're talking about, what do you mean? I didn't follow you. I apologize.
If I'm focusing on the sliver of time right after I have finished successfully. So I was thinking about successfully finishing the presentation, but suggestion that successfully closing the deal would be magnificent. I'd just be
right.
I'd try to contain myself.
Well, I would go for that one, because the point of doing your presentations is that it leads to income. It leads to sales, right?
Right, right.
So you want to capture the moment that you have been so successful at your presentation that they want to hire you. That's what you want to capture. And that would fit with what you want to create as your final project at the end of our course, right?
True.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's what I would suggest you do for that. And Steve, what would be a moment that you would like to practice? I heard about the Toastmasters. Is there anything specific, an intention that you want to focus on between now and next week, let's say, where you would practice the success emotion gymnastic and capture that moment right after you have succeeded? Do you have one of those?
Well, actually listening to you're directing Barb there, I think that it would be, I've just given, say, a passion test presentation, and maybe it's at a seminar, there's other people presenting, and I'm in the back of the room, I've got these forms, and I've got a real mass of people around me, and they're excited, some are emotional, and they are just, they can't wait to set up a time to begin the passion test process.
So would they have paid you at that seminar, or is this for them to talk to you after the seminar to learn more?
I gave them the seeds. I told them what they're going to get, and they want to go now. They're slapping down 297 any way they can. Let's get
started. Okay. Beautiful. That's exactly what I'm talking about here. So for all three of you, and, you know, you too, Mary, you can play with two different scenarios. One would be a full sign-up sheet of discovery sessions, or it could be whatever low-cost, easy yes offer you're presenting that they scoop up, right?
Right.
Okay, so the point is I want you to have a good idea of how you can start using both of those techniques right away. Does everybody have that?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so for home play, the first thing I'd like you to do, for obvious reasons, is to fill out your feedback sheets for each of you, so that it's fresh in your mind, and upload it into our Facebook group, and if at all possible, to upload it by the end of this evening. If not possible, then please by tomorrow so that not too much time goes by. And I will get back to each of you via an email and in the Facebook group as to how I'm going to deliver my feedback. So you will absolutely get something from me. Number two, what I'd like you to do is, based upon this presentation that you gave and keeping in mind the project that you want completed successfully by class number 8, I would like you to write a 200-word, roughly speaking, blog article. So that means you would come up with an article that you're going to write that contains the information of your presentation. However, somehow it's linked to the completion of your project for class 8. Because what we're working on now is we're going to be starting to build a marketing funnel. And having a presentation, an auditory presentation, as well as an article, and then we're going to work on a video. We're going to take all of those pieces and put it into a marketing sequence. So, does everybody understand what you're going to be writing about in those 200 words? For you, Steve, it would be the content of your talk, pretty much, because it's leading up to you wanting to have a paid passion test client, right, by the end of the course?
Yes.
Okay, so does that answer your question?
Gotcha, yeah. 200, so okay. I'm really condensing what I just gave into more of a 200-word blog.
Yes.
Okay.
Good. How about you, Mary? Do you have any questions about that part of the home play?
No, I just have a little caveat comment about if you want to use this as a blog or an article, it has to be at least 250 to 300 words for the Google to pick it up.
Okay, thank you. So 300 words. Thank you. I didn't know that. Thanks, Mary. So everybody, it's a 300-word blog post. And I'm sure you're clear about what to write. Yes, Mary?
Yes.
Okay. And Barb, are you clear about what to write that is a hybrid of what you presented today and what it is you want to accomplish by having your $5,000 client by the end of this course?
Yes, I set this up as having an intro, 3 points, and then the closing. And I just need to strengthen that call to action.
Right. So now what I'd like you all to do is to, our next class is next Tuesday. So I would like all of you to upload your article by Sunday, and that everybody read each other's article before Tuesday, okay?
Okay, now this article blog won't necessarily include an offer, but more of a suggestion to that offer, correct?
You could do either one. It's completely up to you.
Okay.
So what I'm asking is, for each of you to upload by Sunday and to read it by Tuesday. However, I would like you all to write comments so that we all know that you read it and what you thought about what you read. So the way you could do that is in the Facebook group, you would start a post where it says to upload the document, upload the file, and then we'll all see that from you, and we will write our comments on that same thread the way we've been doing all along in the Facebook group. Like when Mary uploaded her handout and you all wrote your comments right underneath that. Steve, you with me?
Yep.
That's where you would write your feedback after reading, let's say, Mary's article. And when Barb does hers, we'll write our comments on that thread. Everybody got what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So we each have our own thread.
We each have our own thread, exactly. All right, is that clear, everybody?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
So the only things I want you to focus on between now and Tuesday is your feedback sheets from today's presentations, practice, your success emotion gymnastic as often as possible, preferably every day. Set a goal that you're going to look for an opportunity during that day to use it. And the third is for you to practice evoking, calling in your soul or calling in the soul essence of something. And, of course, the more you're willing to share in our Facebook group, I think the better it is for everybody so that we can all feed on each other's momentum. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Yep. All right, so let's conclude by going around the room and just stating what were the highlights for you in this class, and then we'll call it a wrap.
Well, I would
first like because
to
I'm.
Go ahead.
I have to leave. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Mary.
I thought it was a fabulous class. I love the SEG gymnastics and hearing the presentations of my colleagues was just amazing, and I want to work with both of you. And thank you very much.
You're welcome, and thank
Yeah, and thank you, Mary, for a rock star presentation. You all did. I mean, you were all great. Okay, thank you. I'll let you go, Mary dear. And then who'd like to go next?
Well, I'll go real quick. I concur with Mary. I was so impressed with Mary and Barb and their presentation. It was so clear, Barb, you were just so clear. I know I'm giving feedback, but I was just so impressed with both those presentations. And just, I feel so just grateful to be a part of this class and such a special group. And I got some really great techniques now to use SEG, and I look forward to using those, applying those in my life.
Wonderful, and thank you, because your presentation was so great, Steve. I loved it. Okay, Bob, darling, you highlights of what you enjoyed about, yeah.
Yes, I enjoyed the presentations, and it was an opportunity to get to know more about Mary and Steve and what they do and how they do it. Something that really dug deeper into our relationship, I think. I'm excited about the SEG and going back and again doing the 1 through 15 from the month's training, which reminds me that tomorrow night's an Q&A call, right?
Yes.
So you're stuck with us two nights in a row.
Aren't I lucky? I'm a lucky girl.
Yes. So yeah, this was good. I love adding new tools.
Yes. Well, there's an abundance over here underneath this short brown hair.
Aha.
Okay, so I think that's everything, and I'll just say I love you, and Steve, you're going to look at that email, and I think we're good to go, everybody. So have a wonderful time doing your feedback sheets, and I'll be back to all of you soon with when the replays are available, when the home play is going to be posted in the Facebook group, and when I'm going to deliver my feedback.
Okay.
Sounds great. See you, Bob. See you all tomorrow.
See ya.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.